And so let's take our Bible and go to Galatians chapter number 5. And if you have your handout, go ahead and grab that. It's page number 589 is the Bible page number. And we're going to be studying another fruit of the Spirit today, Galatians 5. And let's begin reading here in verse 19, all right? So if you have your Bible, go to Galatians 5, and let's look at verse number 19. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are revealed," which are these. And what that means is, when he talks about the works of the flesh, he just means this is what we can produce apart from Jesus. You want to know what you can do apart from Jesus? What can you produce in your life apart from Christ, apart from God working in your life? He says, well, it's revealed. In other words, it's pretty clear. We see it everywhere. We see what the world can produce without Jesus. And he says, here's kind of a summary. Look at it. He says, adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, rage, selfishness, dissensions and heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I previously warned you, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, verse 22, but, so in contrast to that, to what we can produce apart from Christ, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is what God can do in you. This is what God can produce in you. He says the fruit of the Spirit is, and then he lists 9 things, and they're also up here on the screen. And you know, I thought it'd be kind of cool. We haven't done this, I don't think, in a long time. And we've been in this series for most of this year. But I thought it'd be nice if we could just read all 9 together. So if you want to look up here at the screen, we can say them together. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is, say it with me, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. What's the next to the last one? Meekness. And that's what we're on today. And I think it's very overlooked. Let me ask you something. Have you ever overlooked something that actually was very important? How many of you have ever done that? Raise your hand. You've overlooked something that really was, you shouldn't have overlooked. Well, I've had that happen. You know, in your car, you've got your speedometer that tells you how fast you're going. You got your odometer, tells you how many miles you've gone. You've got, check engine lights that flash and things. And also on your dashboard there, there's a real, real tiny little light that sometimes will glow red. Real little. And it's over by an F. Does anybody know what that little light is? Low fuel. Low fuel. And you know what I found out? It's not real good to overlook that. One day I did. It's the only time this has ever happened. I've been driving since I was 16. And I was on Interstate 24 with my family of 5. The boys were still at home. And my wife was in the car. And I was going down Interstate 24 in the middle of nowhere in Kentucky. And that little red light, I overlooked it. You say, what happened? Did you run out of gas in the middle of nowhere with 3 kids and a wife? I'd rather not say. If you want to know the rest of the story, talk to my wife, okay? But I did learn an important lesson that day. And that is, there are certain things in life that may appear unimportant that are actually very important, and you should not overlook them. And I think that this fruit of meekness is kind of like that illustration. It's maybe a little red light, not the biggest light on the dashboard, right? It's a little red light that often can be completely overlooked, I think, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Because we live in a very aggressive, self-centered, self-seeking culture. Because of that, meekness isn't something really being sought by too many people. It's funny, you know, I hear people say a lot, boy, I need to be more loving. right? And they get it. I really need to grow my love. And I've had people tell me many, many times, Pastor Dan, I've been very depressed and I need the joy of the Lord. And they recognize I need to grow in joy. I've had many people tell me I need peace. I'm stressed out and I just need more peace in my life. And man, that fruit gets a lot of attention, peace. Even patience gets attention and gentleness. And of course, goodness is good works. And faith is talked about all the time, right? Boy, I need to grow my faith. I need to grow my faith. I need to increase my faith. I need to have more faith. And I hear that all the time. But did you know, I don't think I've ever heard, boy, I sure need to be more meek. Do you know, I don't hear that too much. In fact, in 30 years I've been at this church, I don't think anyone has ever, I'm serious. I don't think anybody has ever come up to me and said, you know, Pastor Dan, I'm really working on my meekness. Isn't that kind of funny though, really? That it's one of the nine, I mean, there's nine things. That's it, just nine. And it's one of the nine that God put on this list that is the fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit produces in our life. And yet most of us would probably struggle to even explain what it means. We've probably never prayed about it. It's really very seldom ever talked about, but yet there it is. And what we're going to find out is that the fruit of meekness is crucial for the health of our everyday relationships at home, at work, at church, our friendships, school life, church life. Meekness is absolutely essential for a right walk with Jesus Christ. In fact, look at the top of your handout and look what Jesus said. Top of your handout, Matthew 5:5. Jesus said this. He said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Can you say that with me? Let's say it together. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know the context of that, right? He's speaking Jesus to Israel on the Mount. And he's teaching them what's truly important and what their priorities should be. And Jesus here is referring to those who will enter his kingdom one day. When he comes back down from heaven and he returns down to the earth as the King of Kings, he's going to establish his kingdom on this earth. And he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." He's saying they are the ones that are going to enter my kingdom on earth. And notice that meekness is a prerequisite. But why? Why meekness? He could have said, "Blessed are the loving. Blessed are the joyful, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed, you know, he could have said, "Blessed are the patient," or those who are full of faith, or those who are full of goodness. He said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." They're the ones that are going to enter my kingdom. Why? Well, it's because we're going to learn today that meekness is the opposite of pride and self-will. The Bible says God resists the proud. He can have nothing to do with the proud. In fact, we get that, right? I mean, we understand that even on a human level. Have you ever known somebody that's obnoxious and they always talk about themselves and they just go on and on and on and on and on about themselves? There's nobody they love more than themselves. There's nobody greater than them. And every time you're around them, they talk about themselves and they just go on and on and on. I mean, you guys know what that's like, right? Just obnoxious people. And you know, you're like this and you're in the grocery store and you go down the aisle and there they are and you go, "Whoa. Let's go down the other aisle." You avoid them. You resist them because they're so full of themselves. Well, that's what God does. God resists the proud. And Jesus is saying here to Israel, here's what he's saying. He's saying, when he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," he's saying, you are not going to get into my kingdom your way. You are not going to get into my kingdom on your terms. You are not going to get into my kingdom all puffed up and full of yourself. And by saying what he said here, he's saying, you have to do things my way and submit to me if you want to get my kingdom. Well, to have a submissive heart and to humbly do things God's way takes that. That eighth fruit. To do things God's way and to humble yourself takes meekness. And meekness is very commonly misunderstood because of modern day definitions I think it's why it gets lost among the other nine, other eight fruit there of the Spirit is because of confusion. People don't really understand what meekness is. And I think that people tend to associate that word with being weak, with being timid, you know, and they think if you're meek, that means you're everybody's doormat. And if you're meek, that just means that you allow people to just walk all over you. And to be meek means that you kind of go around with slumped shoulders and you just kind of go around with a defeatist attitude and just like, just walk all over me, it's okay. But because I'm meek. And that is not what the word means at all. That is not the biblical definition of meekness. In the Bible, meekness carries the idea of controlled strength. Did you guys hear that? No, I didn't mean the alarm going off. I meant, did you hear what I said? I heard the alarm. Isn't it amazing what you hear when I'm just real quiet? Amen. But no, meek, what did I say? I said meekness is what? Good. You are listening. Meekness is controlled strength. In fact, in your handout, there's a blank there, and I want you to write this in. It says meekness is not weakness. Do you know how we know that? I'm going to tell you how we absolutely know that for sure. Because Moses, who is, I'm going to say arguably, because there are people who could argue with you on this. But I think he's arguably the greatest leader in the Old Testament. I didn't say necessarily he was the greatest saint, the greatest man of God, the most perfect. I just think from a leadership perspective, Moses is off the charts. Nehemiah would be in that conversation. But Moses, I mean, a prolonged period of time here, he's just a leader that's off the charts as far as what he accomplished. And then Jesus is, without argument, the greatest leader of the New Testament. Would you all agree with that? Say amen, huh? Okay. You got Moses and Jesus, two of the most powerful and effective leaders in the Bible. And both of them were noted for what we're talking about today. They were both noted for their meekness. This was an attribute. This was a fruit, a character trait they both had. By the way, we're going to learn that this fruit is essential for truly effective leadership. You know, some of you may feel like, well, if there's any one fruit on that list that Pastor Dan could manage to do in 1 week, it's this one. Well, guess what? We're not going to hit it all in 1 week. All right, because here's the deal. As I was studying this fruit, because I got to confess to you, it wasn't majorly on my radar either. Meekness isn't something that I think about a lot. It's not something that is really on my radar as far as, you know, praying about, thinking about. And as I began to study this fruit out, it was like, whoa, and I just couldn't quit typing, and I couldn't quit cross-referencing, and I couldn't. And it's like, whoa, this fruit is unbelievably important. And I see why it's on the list. It's so important and essential for truly effective leadership. You know, I want to look at Moses. I want to bring a verse up here as I seek to define the fruit of meekness, okay? Look at this verse. It's Numbers 12, verse 3. It says, now the man Moses was very what? Meek. But then look what it says. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now, I want you to understand something about this guy. In case you're not real familiar with your Bible, you're a new Christian, you're like, I don't even know who Moses is. Moses is a man that led an entire nation out of the slavery of another nation that was hostile against him. He leads, I'm talking about over 1 million people, he leads out of one country of Egypt, and leads them through the wilderness to their own land area, where they ended up successfully taking that land area and taking the land that God gave them. Moses is the guy that led them out. He led 1 million people to pack up and leave one country and move to another one in a hostile environment. Now you think about moving 1 million people. Listen, I remember when my kids were growing up and we would go to Missouri to see my family, to move 5 people and to get them all going the same direction at the same time was a challenge, amen? 1 million he's moving. So this guy was a leader that was off the charts. And I want you to note, he was very meek above all people on the face of the earth. The context, by the way, there in Numbers 12, is when Aaron and Miriam, who were his brother and sister, his siblings, they were criticizing Moses over his choice of a wife. In-law problems. Don't you just love in-law problems? And his brother and sister didn't like his wife. But the problem went beyond that. It wasn't that they just didn't like her. They were openly rebelling against his leadership, and they were questioning Moses' leadership. And Moses, what's interesting about that, and that's why it notes this right here, this verse, in the context of that, is that Moses never complained to God about the grief they caused him. And Moses did not retaliate against his brother and sister. He bore the burden, and he allowed God to handle it. And of course, God rose to his defense, and God did handle it. But my point is that Moses responded to that situation in meekness, and the Bible points that out. Moses' meek disposition was also evident when he was literally wearing himself out, trying to help everyone in Israel's camp when they were in the wilderness. He was trying to solve their daily problems. He was available to them. He was trying to help them. And you're talking about over 1 million people. I mean, more than what's in Volusia County. Can you imagine everyone in Volusia County that has a problem or a question, they need help, they need advice. Can you imagine everyone in Volusia County, whenever they need help or advice, they came to your door? And that's what Moses was dealing with. And in spite of that, he never complained. That's what's amazing. He never complained. He gave of himself sacrificially. His father-in-law came, and he saw firsthand what was going on, and he gave him advice. He's like, man, you can't do this, Moses. You're going to wear away. You are going to burn out, man. You are just going to die. You can't do this forever. And he actually listened to his father-in-law, and he implemented the changes his father-in-law gave him. He was teachable. And that's why the Bible says that he was so meek. You see, Moses' meekness was not weakness, and his meekness was not timidity. It wasn't letting people run over him. I want to remind you, the meekest man on the whole earth, he's the guy that went into the king of Egypt, the king, Pharaoh. He goes into his office, and he points his finger at him, looks into his eyeballs, and says, hey, the Lord God Almighty said, let my people go. He was bold, man. He was strong. Pharaoh could have cut his head off. And he went in there 10 times. Let my people go. Let my people go. Let my people go. Moses was not weak. On the contrast, it was a powerful demonstration of discipline strength beyond what most people could endure. And so my point is, meekness is not weakness. So I want to dispel that idea right off the bat. Jesus Christ, who lives in us, is said to be power and wisdom, 1 Corinthians 1:24. And in your handout, there's another statement. I want you to get this. Meekness, here's how we would define this. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power, actually. It is power that is under control. Meekness is power that is under control. So you could be meek and be very powerful, but it's power that's under control. To give you an everyday illustration of this, of power under control, most husbands are stronger than their wives physically. Maybe not emotionally and mentally and all that. Most guys are stronger than their wives physically. Now, there may be exceptions to that, and there may be wives who can out-arm wrestle their husband. Bless your heart. Okay, but most of the time, I made it a when I was in my dating years, I had one simple rule: never date a girl who could beat me up. That's why I married a 5'1" little petite girl, because I was 135 pounds soaking wet back then. But let me tell you something: you put a frying pan in her hand and it levels the playing ground. Amen. But no, most husbands are stronger than their wives physically. Here's my point. Most husbands could intimidate or even abuse their wife physically to get their way. Sadly, many do. By the way, let me say this. If you're a woman and your husband's abusing you, you need to call the police, because that's against the law. You say, well, I'm afraid to do that. Come to the church. We'll help you do it. We'll stand with you. Because no man should ever abuse a woman. Ever. And if you're a woman in here, you do not have to tolerate that. But when a man treats his wife humbly, and a man treats his wife with tenderness, when he could overpower her, that's an example of controlled strength. That's an example of meekness. That's power under control. Now, when it's the biblical fruit of meekness, when it's this, it's power that's under control of the Holy Spirit. Power under control of the Holy Spirit. When a person has meekness, that means they don't have to go around flexing their muscles. When a person has meekness, they don't have to go around showing off their power and their authority. They don't have to fly off the handle. They don't have to intimidate people with their strength or their position or their authority. In fact, this is very important, and we're going to elaborate on this in the next couple weeks, but I want you to get a statement in your handout. Very important. It says one of the main reasons that people fail when given a leadership position, and this could be anywhere, at work, it could be at church, but the reason why people fail it when they're given leadership is a lack of meekness. This is true in the home. This is why husbands fail in their leadership responsibility with their wife and kids. This is why people are given leadership positions at church and they fail. This is why people sometimes at work are given a position of leadership and they fail. It's this right here. This is the thing missing. This is the fruit. This is a key fruit. It's probably because they're lacking meekness. How many of y'all have ever heard the expression, "Boy, I tell you what, the power sure went to his head"? Y'all ever heard that? There's a reason why that expression is there. It's because it happens so often. And what that is that's a lack of meekness. Because meekness is power under control. Power out of control, that's when you get that. Boy, the power went to her head. Boy, they gave her a promotion at work and the power just went to her head. And what happens is this: the power goes to people's head, and now that they got some power, they got some authority, now they begin to intimidate people, and they begin to throw their weight around. What happens then? People don't want to follow them, right? Think about this. How do you move cattle? We don't have anybody in here that knows. You drive cattle. You got the, yeah, there you go. Look at the picture. The way you move cattle, come on, you guys have seen Westerns. Haven't you ever seen John Wayne? My kids grew up on John Wayne. And young kids are like, "Who is John Wayne?" And my kids never could believe it. They'd have their friends over, and I'd mention John Wayne, and they'd be like, "Who's your dad talking? Who's Wayne John?" "No, John Wayne." They never heard of him. Greatest Western star ever, right? And you guys, look, they call it a cattle drive, right? Cattle drive. Because you get behind the cattle with a whip, and you whip them, and you scream, and you yell, and you scare them to get them moving. And that's why they call it a cattle drive. How do you move sheep? Not the same way. Because you'll scare them and they'll scatter everywhere. If you look at that picture, you'll notice the shepherd is out in the front. He's not behind him with a whip. He's out in the front, and he's leading them. Driving them doesn't work. You see, the shepherd gets out in front, and they trust the shepherd, and they follow the shepherd, and they know his voice, and they know that he's for them, that he will lead them to fresh water. He'll lead them to green pastures. He'll lead them to life. Jesus said, people are like sheep. You can't drive them like cattle. Meekness is when you seek to lead people like a shepherd, by example and with humility. Shepherds were strong, strong guys, by the way. They were not like little meek, weaselly type guys. Shepherds were very strong. Many times they'd have to pick the sheep up when they hurt themselves, and they literally would pick them up and would carry them. They were strong leaders. And Jesus is the greatest leader who ever lived. And did you know he's not called the good cattle driver? Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will drive you like cattle. That's not what he said. He's not called the good cattle driver. He's called the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Meekness is so essential in leadership. You know, most of us in here, we have relationships where we lead, and then we have somewhere we follow. You know, we have people who look up to us. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your grandkids. Maybe it's a niece or a nephew. Maybe it's people at work you're over. Maybe it's just friends that really respect you and they look up to you. But most of us in here, it could be at church. You know, you have a position of authority or leadership. But most of us have relationships where we lead, but then we got other ones where we follow. We're more the follower. We've got people that over us at church or over us at work, or we have people in our home, like, you know, that are our leader. And so we have relationships where we follow, we have relationships where we lead. So what does it look like when you're meek in both those scenarios? Well, if you're the leader and you're meek, it means you lead others like a shepherd. You lead humbly. You're not arrogant and intimidating. You don't go around throwing your weight around. You're a servant leader, and you treat others with respect. You can be a strong leader, but also be meek, Moses and Jesus. It just means that you're humble, you listen to people, and you treat people with respect. If you're a follower and you're meek, it means that you possess a quiet inner strength that causes you to submit to those in leadership over you with a good attitude. You don't resent them, but you respect their position. You don't talk behind your leader's back. You don't disrespect them. No, you have meekness. So you follow with the right attitude. And spiritual meekness is when we ultimately submit to God. Because that's the issue, really. The issue is, will we follow God's way? Are we going to do it our way? Will we do things God's way? Or are we determined to have our way? And some of you may be struggling with that right now. And I understand. That's a struggle. You want your way. We all do. You know? But when we're filled with the fruit of meekness, all of a sudden now, no, I want God's way in my life. I want to do things God's way. I want my marriage to be done God's way. I want to treat my wife God's way. I want to raise up my kids God's way. You know, I want to serve and I want to be like Jesus. In your handout, it says that meekness is when we possess a humble spirit. Meekness is when we possess a humble spirit. We're not full of ourselves, we're full of Christ. Let me say that again. We're not full of ourselves. We're full of Jesus Christ. Jesus is overflowing in our lives, so there's a gentle humility about us. Romans 12:3, I want you to look at it with me on the screen. And notice it says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sound judgment according to the measure of faith that God has distributed to every man." You know who I think of when I think about this? I think of John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist's attitude was, here's the greatest prophet, right? Jesus said he's the greatest prophet ever, but yet his attitude was, is that he, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease. That's what he said, he must increase and I must decrease. That's meekness. That's meekness. You know what? If you get a church full of people with the fruit of meekness, there's unity. Because the win, what is the win for us as a church? You ever think about that? What's the win? Is it, oh, we have this certain amount of people that came to church Sunday morning? No, that's not the win. Oh, well, you know what? Our offerings were this much and they were bigger than last year. That's not the win. That's not the win. Let me tell you what the win is for Crossroads. The win is when our Savior Jesus Christ is glorified and lifted up. Everybody say amen. That's the win. It's when Jesus is exalted. It's when Jesus is magnified. It's when Jesus is lifted up. The win is not when I get my way. The win is when Jesus is glorified and lifted up and exalted. And John said, he must increase and I must decrease. The Apostle Paul was one of the most brightest intellectual men at that time. Paul had some of the greatest education and training that a man could receive. The Apostle Paul was brilliant, off the charts brilliant. Meanwhile, you've got the other apostles like Peter, James, and John, and Matthew. They're just a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors. They're uneducated men. It would have been easy for Paul to get the attitude, it's a good thing I came along when I did. Bunch of dumb fishermen. Boy, I tell you what, God finally got an apostle with some sense when he got me. And it would have been easier, it would have been very easy for Paul to be very prideful and puffed up, right? But yet, look what he said. Let me bring it on the screen. He said, "For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." He said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Paul did not have an attitude of cockiness, arrogance. I'm better than these dumb fishermen. His attitude was, I'm not even fit to be called an apostle. It's just the grace of God. What is that? That's meekness. You know, we said at the beginning of this message that meekness is something being, it's not being sought by too many people, yet it should be. In fact, did you know you're told to follow after meekness? It ought to not only be on your radar, you should be following after it. Which that, let's bring it up on the screen there. He said, it's in your handout also. It says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience," and what's the last one, church? Meekness. And that phrase there, when he said follow after, it means to pursue. What are you pursuing in your life? That's a great question, isn't it? What are you pursuing in your life? God says this is what you should be pursuing. So that kind of lets me know that this thing of meekness is not just a personality thing. We cannot dismiss this important fruit by rationalizing, well, that just isn't my personality. You know, it's just not my personality to be meek. Well, if it doesn't come naturally, which for most of us it doesn't, pride and self-promotion come naturally. If it doesn't come naturally to you, then we have to follow hard after it. We have to pursue it. And I'm hoping, and I'm really asking you to pray about it this week. I want you to do a couple things. I want the thing of meekness. Remember I told you I've never had anyone come to me and say, man, I'm really praying about my meekness, you know, praying that God will help me to be meek. But I'm really hoping that will be true this week. I'm hoping that many of you will realize how important this thing of meekness is, controlled strength, this humility. And I'm hoping and praying that you will do the questions on the back of your handout this week and that you will kind of unpack this thing. I want you to unpack this fruit of meekness, and I want you to see what it means in your life personally. What does it mean for you to be meek? How does that look in your relationship with your wife? How does that look in your relationship with your husband to be meek? How does that look in your relationship with your kids? How does that look at work? How does that look with that boss that you don't like, but yet he is over you? How does it look at church? What does meekness look like for you? So I want you to wrestle with that this week. I want you to pray about it, think about it, wrestle with it. And then next week we're going to come back and we kind of focused on Moses this week, but I want to come back next week and I want to look at Jesus. Why is Jesus said to be meek? We're going to look at that next week. Amen, church? It's good fruit. It's important fruit. Let's pray right now about it. Pray with me.